Hey friends, I'm Stacey, and I love chatting about teen books. What makes this podcast a little different is that I want to encourage your curiosity beyond the book. So how will I do that? Each month, I'll feature one book and discuss its highlights. You know, the things that made me love it. I'll also share the things that didn't knock my socks off. Then I'll explore what the book taught me and how it inspired a curiosity of information well after the story finished. But I won't be exploring these books on my own. Each month will feature various guests, co-hosts, adding their thoughts to the conversation. Now, let's get on with our episode. Hey there, Curious Reader podcast listeners. Thank you for joining me for another episode. And if this is your first time, thank you for tuning in and giving this podcast a chance. For those that don't know, the podcast is recorded at the Goffstown Public Library in Goffstown, New Hampshire. Now, usually I record after hours when the library is closed, but today I have some special guests, so we're recording live during library hours. And because there's not a soundproof space for us to record in, well, you may have some extra ambiance noises. What I mean by that is like a phone might ring. Maybe a patron might sneak in and try to get in on the podcast with us. So I just want to thank you in advance for rolling with the punches. All right. So before we get on to our book, I'm so excited. Our book today is Dress Coded by Carrie Firestone, just so that you know. But I want to introduce my special guest co-host for the first time ever, and we have some teen co-hosts, and I'm telling you, I've been dreaming of this day forever since like when I first started the podcast about 2 years ago. So it's been a long time. Yeah, exactly. So I am going to let them introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Daisy, and I go to MVMS.
Hi, I'm Reva, and I also go to MVMS, and we both do theater, and we both do some sports. Daisy, what do you do for sports?
I do roller derby.
And I do cross country and lacrosse.
Okay, so cool. Roller derby, right? So cool. Lacrosse. So cool. So both Reva and Daisy are part of the Teen Advisory Board here at the Goffstown Public Library. And our TAB group works with me. They suggest teen programs. They improve the teen space in the library. They recommend materials for our collection. And they make an impact on the community by volunteering at the library or in town-wide events. So, Reva and Daisy, what do you think about TAB? And I know I'm sitting right here, but you can be honest.
I like it. I mean, it's like it's a good chance to connect with the library and like share ideas and like real teens get to help improve the library, which is really nice.
Exactly.
I think it's really cool for most of those reasons as well. You also get to help out with some of the stands they do during one of the town's festivals called the Pumpkin Regatta. I did a shift, and it was really fun. I got to see a lot of nice kids.
Yeah.
And I also think it's really cool because, like Reva said, the library gets input from actual teens who would be checking out books from the teen space in the library.
Very good. And so you both will be helping out again soon, right? Because we're going to be having the pie auction. And so you're both going to be helping out there.
Really excited for that.
Cool. Cool. All right. So we're going to move on to our book now then. Our book is Dress Coded, like I said, by Carrie Firestone. And it hits home by talking about some of the toughest years. And I would say those middle school years. Would you agree with me that like middle
school? Definitely.
Okay.
Definitely.
All right. So there's so much going on. There's new hormones, there's navigating friendships, there's balancing that with your family relationships. Then you add in homework, academic stress, and other interests after school, activities that you're in. We did hear about what Reva and Daisy are in, and I'm sure those activities also have a little bit of drama involved in them. But now add that, a school dress code to all of that. One that administration takes very seriously. So serious that if anyone violates that dress code outlined in the school handbook, then the 8th grade school year end camping trip is canceled. Well, Molly witnessed someone breaking the dress code, and the principal cancels the trip. Now the other students are angry, But Molly knows that sometimes the dress code is broken for accidental reasons, or sometimes one student gets dress coded while another doesn't even, though they wore the same exact outfit. And sometimes it's impossible to find shorts that are longer than your fingertips. Molly has had enough, so she starts a podcast where students can tell their stories. Everyone is talking about the dress code, and they're standing up for what is right. Did I miss anything in there, you think? Like, just in a quick synopsis?
I think that's good.
I would like to add in that one of the, like, very important people is the teacher called Fingertip, who is really sort of a Karen and just kind of bosses every girl around.
Yeah, and if you do, like, one little thing wrong, she'll, like, be on it right away.
Mm. 1 centimeter over the dress code, that's it, you're done.
Yeah, okay.
You're sent home.
So there we go, talking about, like, you know, the shorts that can't, you know, your fingertip doesn't reach to. Perfect, perfect. So we're going to go on to hits and misses. This is where we talk about the things that we've, like, we really loved about the book. And maybe some things that maybe we would have done differently, or maybe we didn't like too much, or, and it's okay to say those things. So I am going to say the main backdrop was the dress code. And I like that the story really called out policing girls' appearances in general. There's a student's, her hair triggers the dress code. Molly's figure is made fun of by a classmate. But then there's another student that has cerebral palsy, and she knows what it's like to be made fun of because of the motor disability. Curvier bodies seem to get dress coded more in this book, and those that are not curvy do not. So I liked that well-developed cast of characters and the representation of a mix of students with different body shapes, abilities, and cultural and social realities that make up who they are. And that we're finally, you know, this book brought it out in light that, you know, girls aren't a distraction by what they wear. And that was what this book was saying, right? Like, mm-hmm. The part of the dress code was, don't wear this because you'll be a distraction to the boys, or, you know, it will cause, a, you know, nobody to pay attention in class. And, you know, people need to be able to take care of their own business, not, yeah. You know, what's going on with what somebody's wearing. But also that sometimes we wear certain things because we can't find clothing in the stores. The stores aren't exactly going with what the dress code says. Or culturally, we wear something that's different or wear our hair differently. So that is all I'm going to say because no one else wants to hear me talk. And we want to hear your thoughts. So don't forget to get really close to that mic and tell us what you think about dress code. What'd you like?
I really liked the fact that, like you said, they really highlighted the fact that really commonly and very sadly that girls are, like, at a very young age, people start to police what they wear around. If you, like, wear, like, baggy clothing, you're like, oh, why don't you show something that's more complimenting to yourself? And then when you wear something that, like, really compliments yourself, shows your figure, they're like, well, that's immodest. You should cover up more. And it's really awful because I don't think a lot of girls should be treated that way, especially when they're young. And, like, a lot of the time I've lived in fear of someone calling out an imperfection with my outfit. So, especially in fifth grade, I wore, like, a lot of baggy hoodies, a lot of jeans that were too big for me. And then moving into sixth grade, it kind of became a habit, and it was really sad. And the first time I wore, like, a t-shirt in a couple of years, I thought I looked really nice, and I liked it. And then I got home and I was like, well, I had a good day wearing something that I liked and no one called me out on it. And, I was really happy, but not a lot of girls live like that. A lot of them, they become habits and then they just stay that way. Mm-hmm. And that's because a lot of people have the audacity to call out these girls who are still growing. Like, it's awful.
Well said. I think that was really, really well said. And before we get to you, Reva, I just want to say, I love that you pointed out another side of it too. Like this double-edged side, right? That if girls want to wear clothing that maybe is a little bit more comfortable or is not figure forming, that they get made fun of, right? Oh, why don't you? And but then the other side of it, like you said, is if they do wear it, then they're also like, oh, what is she? You know, it, that is I love that you made that point.
Yeah.
All right, Reva, go.
Yeah, I think really what Daisy said, but also I like how the book really points out how, like, everyone is different. There's no one that has the same body type. Like, and it is. It's really hard to find clothes that, like, fit you or, like, that. Like, sometimes it's just really hard because, like, they don't make clothes for everybody. And, yeah, I just, like, really like how it points that out. And really, Daisy kind of summed it up.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So what did you have special characters within the book that you really liked?
I liked Molly because I liked how she really took charge and she, like, noticed the problem. She was like, yeah, I want to fix this. And she didn't, like, back down when people told her not to. Mm-hmm. And also with Danny, I feel like I kind of had a love-hate relationship with him because, like, he's not a good brother, like, with, like, him vaping and, like, always telling her to lie for him to their parents. But also, like, when he's not vaping and doing all that stuff, he can be kind of nice. And I feel like it kind of brings Molly back to when he didn't do that and when they were all a happy family.
Yeah, so Reva's bringing up a part in the book where in the, you know, back home after school is over and Molly goes back home, there's what's going on with school and the dress code, but then there's also this other storyline within there about some family dynamics that are pretty difficult and that, you know, Molly is trying to navigate. And one is that her brother is vaping and actually, like, selling vape products, right, to, like, kids within the school. And so that kind of turmoil that's happening in the family is also drawing the parents, especially her mom, into being more focused on Danny and maybe not so much with what's going on with Molly. Would you agree?
And she, like, said that in the book too. I think she said, like, I wish I was more paid attention to.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, she said that she used to like lacrosse and, like, playing the clarinet and stuff. And she said that now she, like, doesn't care about it as much because, like, no one's there to really, like, be proud of her.
Mm.
And I think she just needs someone to, like, kind of be there for her.
Yeah. What did you have something you wanted to add to that, Daisy?
No,
you looked like you did.
I think that was some really good points. I agree. I really like Danny. I think it was really sad that he was, like, he vaped. And I think that a lot of the time, what was I going to say? I had my train of thought and then I lost it.
That happens to me all the time.
I figured it out.
Yay.
I was going to say that I wanted to see more of Danny.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
We didn't see a lot of him.
No, and I'm sure that some of that is just because of the, you know, so that the book is not 700 pages long.
Yeah.
So would you say that maybe you would love if, like, the author came out with a sequel, like, that focuses now on Danny maybe a little bit more?
I think, you know those books where it's, like, it goes, like, from one side to the other side. Like,
oh, the multiple perspective. Yeah.
I think like that. So it would be another book, and it shows Danny's side of the story and when he was younger and then how we got into vaping and stuff.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That would be really interesting, but still with, like, Molly and stuff and figuring out their relationship and how it went kind of downhill, but also how he'll still, like, be a brother to her.
Yeah.
I like all that. That's awesome. What I think I like about this is it is bringing in all the different aspects of being in middle school, right? So did you feel while you were reading this that, hey, yeah, this is true to how middle school is? Maybe your dress code is not as much at where you're going, but that the problems within there, and then the social issues that, you know, that you can relate to that. Did you find that?
There was some, like, things that I found relatable. I found it relatable that I was... Luckily, our school does not have a very, very strict dress code.
Yeah.
There are some things that I kind of disagree with it. You have to wear, like... It's not very strict... It's not as strictly held as Fisher Middle School.
Mm-hmm.
But you do have to wear shorts... a bit longer than your fingertips.
Okay.
I've seen girls wear shorts that are shorter than their fingertips.
Yeah, like and shorts I haven't, and, like, short crop tops.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen them get called out on it.
I think all our school does is warnings. I don't... If it was, like, really serious, I think they would do something.
Okay.
But if it's not, then, like, it's fine.
Yeah. I did notice that a lot of the girls, like, one of the girls in particular, she gets her period in the middle of class.
Yes.
A classmate points it out to her, and the worst part of all of this, she's wearing white jeans.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's why it was my biggest fear when I was in middle school.
And I don't like white clothing in general, but one time I did get my period in the middle of class. I went to the bathroom. I kind of felt something weird.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, oh no. Oh no, I've gotten my period. What am I going to do? There was this tiny little stain. I checked. And then I went to the nurse's office really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't a big deal. But I can't really say anything about that because, you know, at that time, I didn't, like, my body wasn't fully developed.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the girls in the story, specifically the ones that are getting dress-coded, have fully developed and have gone through, like, the full cycle of puberty and are getting targeted. I think that's really cruel.
It is cruel. Because you bring up a good point that, you know, I was one in school when I was that I developed early. And so on top of all these other things that we talked about, your hormones, your friends, that is going on, you're very self-conscious about all these other things that are happening to your body that you have no control over, right? That's just how your body is developing at the time that it's developing. And it just adds even more stress to how everything else is already feeling, and to not have, you know, to be signaled out because of it, or to not even feel that you're in a space that's comfortable enough for her to even explain to the principal, hey, here's why I'm wearing a tank top, because I had to take my sweatshirt off to, you know, hide a stain that I'm also going to get in trouble for, and or not necessarily so much trouble for, but made fun of for. Like, pick which one I want to have to deal with.
Yeah, and I believe she did try to tell the fingertip, which, oh yeah, we didn't mention this, but they call her fingertip because she enforces the fingertip.
Yeah.
Which, we should have said that, but
that's okay.
Yeah. Know.
So, but I believe that Olivia, which is the girl who got her period in the stain, I believe that she did try to tell fingertip, and fingertip was just like, no, that's just an excuse. Because she did go, and she was going to go to the bathroom and call her sister to bring her a pair of, like, jeans.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, like, she wasn't trying to be like that. It just happened.
Right. She wasn't trying to be disrespectful, because I think that was the whole, like, thing. You're being disrespectful. No.
Yeah, because, like, you know, life happens. You can't control life.
Exactly.
So, yeah, that's just another little part.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. So is there anything, those are a lot of hits, a lot of great things about the book.
Yeah.
Besides maybe knowing more about Danny, we can talk about that after too. Was there anything else within the book that maybe you would have liked to see differently, or wasn't your cup of tea?
I really, again, I think we mentioned this and we probably will mention it. I wanted to see so much more of Danny.
Yeah.
I wanted to see what his point of view was, whether he knew about the ridiculous dress code at their school, what his opinions on it were, how he felt about and how he got into vaping. What else?
Yeah, that would have been a great dynamic to the book, I think, like having that different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of my other misses was it might have been too complicated to write, but I would love to see, like, I would have loved to have a lot of other girls' stories told, because although it does cover this girl has her period and her body is fully developed, she has gotten dress coded over 2 times because her body is fully developed. 2 girls wearing the same outfit, one body developed, one not, the one with the body developed gets dress coded. I think those are great examples. I would have liked to see some girls described as, like I said before, they wear baggy clothes because they are terrified of people calling them out on their figure because they know they are developed, or of getting dress coded and doing something wrong.
Yeah.
I have never lived in fear of getting dress coded. I have lived in fear for so long, and I think it's really sad, and I am improving on this. But for so many years, I was terrified of someone staring at me, like, down the hallway. And because I, like, my body's fully developed.
Yeah.
Like, someone, like, calling me out because I was worried, like, I would get like pit stains from like running around in the running around at recess. And for those reasons, I developed some really nasty habits. I still wear baggy clothes. I'm better about maintaining the bagginess of my clothes. I'm better at like wearing nice stuff that I actually like. Never got called out on it before. I do kind of like take a step back if I think my anxiety is getting to me, if I think someone has stared at me. But really, I think it would have been nice to see some girls who have developed some habits and haven't gotten dress coded, or have gotten dress coded and developed habits because of that.
I think I really like that, because I think that you and I probably were very similar in that when we were younger. I also fully developed very early compared to my counterparts in school, and so I did the same thing. It was like we were going to the beach and it was bathing suit, it was t-shirt over the bathing suit. Like, I was not going to just wear my bathing suit. I would get a size up for my clothing because I didn't want anything that was going to attract to the fact that somebody's still in training bras and I'm actually in the bra. Like, I am in, you know, and it wasn't like I was in bras. But I didn't want that because you shouldn't have to feel that people are staring at you for that, but they are. And like, that's how I felt. And I didn't want to be. And I was navigating all that. I wasn't comfortable in my own skin. And I had a lot of anxiety about it as well. Yeah. But equally, I got made fun of because I wore those big things too. So I felt like I couldn't do it right either way.
Yeah. It's like seeing girls who are just fine. They wear whatever they want. And they are, like, confident in those bodies and their own bodies.
Yep.
And then you see yourself and you're like, well, why can't I be like that?
Right.
Yeah, and I got, like, it wasn't a big deal. I didn't, like, I didn't, like, run it over. But I wore, like, a black t-shirt. Like, it was my dad's t-shirt. I asked to borrow it.
Yeah.
It was, like, 3 sizes up from mine and in men's, so that made it, like, 4 times in men's.
Right.
Yeah. I was wearing a pack of, pair of really baggy, like, painter jeans. Later that day, and I was wearing Doc Martens, I got called emo. Didn't have a problem with it. I was kind of thinking, like, well, why did I get called emo? And then I looked around, like, to some kids who, like kind of, like, said, oh, I'm emo as a joke. And they were wearing, like, very similar clothing. They were wearing black clothing. They had, like, pixie cuts, which I did have in 5th grade.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I don't want to be called emo because I wear this. That shouldn't be fair. That's not fair.
But even so, it probably shouldn't be fair that anybody's calling anybody emo for what they're wearing anyway, right?
Like, unless you're giving permission by that person, like,
or like their friends, and like, you know that they're joking.
Yeah. So it goes back to, you know, maybe like a consent and being respectful of other people. The one thing I actually wanted to backtrack a second when we were talking about, 2 people wearing the same outfit, one who's fully developed, one who's not. And I think that the important thing of this is that when there is a size 8 at the store, it's a size 8. Like, that's it. It's not size, you know, so if you both want to go get the Gap jeans or whatever store you're shopping in of size 8, it's, you know, skinny jeans or whatever, that's the size 8. It's not like size 8, but a little bit wider in the hip, but the waist is, you know, it.
Yeah.
So it's everything so generic that you're trying to fit your body into what's there on the shelf. And sometimes going up a size isn't any better, doesn't make the clothing fit so that that even looks right.
Yeah.
So then staying with your size sometimes might, because if maybe your hips are a little bit bigger, might be a little bit tighter in some areas that got people called out for their dress code. And so it is difficult. And this is really just a great book to talk about. Hey, you know, girls are trying to do their best out there.
Yeah, definitely.
To also come to school to learn, you know, get an education, have social time with their friends, you know, learn. And these things are the distraction.
Yeah.
The girls aren't the distraction. These things are the distraction.
Yeah, like, you are making it a problem when it doesn't need to be a problem.
Yeah.
It's always like, it's kind of like what I say to people who are like, oh, my ex is right there. I'm like, it is only awkward if you try to make it awkward.
Very good.
Yeah, like no in one... movies when they like see their crush or something and they're like, oh no, and then they're like, it's like, no, that doesn't happen.
You are deliberately making this awkward.
Right. Yeah, you're making it way more awkward than it needs to be. And you're not going to be able to not be able to talk just because you're standing there. You're going to be able to say hi or hello, and mm-hmm. you're going to be able to respond to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's very much the same in real life. And I asked one of my guy friends
mm-hmm.
who is bi. Yeah, he's bi.
Yep.
And yeah. I asked him, like, because he's bi and he likes girls and boys, I asked him, do you find any of girls' clothing a distraction to mm-hmm. you? Do you find anything like that? And he says, no, I don't really pay attention to that. And then I asked one of my other guy friends who was just straight, and he said, I don't really care about that stuff. And honestly, I think that women, like, grown people in the school faculty, are making this a much bigger deal. Like, I think of it as one day a girl was wearing some shorts that were, like, up to, like, her middle thigh.
Mm-hmm.
Some boy looks at her for a second, turns away, and they were like, nope, that's it. Distraction.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I look at that and say she could have been wearing a really nice pair of jeans. And also, he could have looked at her for the whatever time. And what are you going to do then? Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
It's impossible. And yeah. I think it's really unfair, especially because I think part of my anxiety developed from being scared that people would call me out on stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think any girl, especially during middle school, deserves any kind of treatment like that.
Yeah. No, I agree. And we're mainly talking within the story about females, about girls. But we do know that, you know, there are stories of males and boys also being called out for hairstyles or different things that they're also wearing. So I don't want to discount that, you know, this book really wasn't about that, but I don't want to discount that there's also some other tragedies and not some other things that are not fair that happen to others.
Yeah. And one time we said my brother has like surfer dude hair and mm-hmm. we wanted him to get a buzz cut. And he said, I don't really like that. Please stop. And so we stopped.
Exactly.
He told us what, and like, but even before that, we asked like, is this okay with you? And I think before he knew opinions were a thing, he was like, I'm fine with it. So we like mm-hmm. kept calling him and that, and then like around when he was like a couple years later, he was like, I really don't like that, can you please stop? And we were like, of course.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that I'm glad he found his voice and to say, hey, you know what, actually no, I don't like it, and please stop. And yeah, so it
does happen to boys too, but more commonly women, and that's what this book was focusing about.
Exactly.
Also, there's a quote that I really like, mm-hmm. kind of going back to what Daisy said about asking her guy friends about what they, like, if it was distracting,
mm-hmm.
and it's people, like, you think they're judging you, but they're too busy judging themselves. So, if you think that people are looking at you, they're probably looking at you, and who knows, like, they might be jealous, like, they might think that you're, like, this, like, really, like, confident and body
skinny
goddess.
Kind of goddess.
So true.
Yeah, and they're like that, and you could be thinking the opposite, and, like, you never know, like... Yeah. Like,
and
it's
that,
like, don't judge a book by its cover. It's like that.
And that really is, I think that's a human nature thing, because I don't think that ends when you're in, you graduate high school. I think there definitely are many adults that also feel that same way. And so you're right. I think, you know, communication is probably actually a big key to all of this.
Yeah.
You know, definitely. I think that if the teachers and the administration listened better and had respect and treated these students with a little bit more dignity and there was a better conversation, that this story might have gone a totally different way.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And like, we're not saying that like every single teacher is awful.
No.
And like, every single strict dress code is awful. No, absolutely not. And I think a lot of the time I call this like a beginner feminist book.
Yeah.
I would also like to say that even though we are being very feminist, it's not to say that every guy is awful. There are, like, my guy friends are, like, very feminist,
mm-hmm.
feministic, and they do believe that, like, that stuff is awful.
Yeah. Good points. Good points. All right. So this is part of the podcast where maybe we think about some things in the book that made us go deeper. And, you know, and maybe we've already discussed this because we've kind of gone out way out there. Yeah. But so we might have already discovered all those things. But was there anything else that happened in this book or quotes in this book or anything that you said, hey, when you were done reading, I want to learn a little bit more about that? And maybe like at that moment you didn't go research it, but now that you're thinking about it, like, oh yeah, maybe I'd like to learn a little bit more about that, or it just, you know, made you think about something.
For me, it was kind of like, because like they're so serious about it. Like they're so serious about the rules and they really enforce them. Mm-hmm. And I figured, well, in our school, they don't really enforce it. So that made me think, like, how many schools really enforce this and how many schools don't, which I haven't gotten to look it up yet because I keep mm-hmm. forgetting. But, yeah, I think I'll go home and look it up because it, like, it's a problem in schools, but it's also not a problem in schools.
Right. And so I think the author wrote this, if I remember correctly, I remember reading something about because of stories that she was reading, like in the, or even if something had happened yeah. to, I can't remember exactly, so I don't want to misquote it. But that makes me think that she wrote it for a reason, so it has to be happening somewhere.
Yeah.
But that is a good point. Like, is it geographical? Is it, you know, where?
Like, is it just happening near her? Or is mm-hmm. it like really, because I don't really not watch the news a lot. I don't really see a lot of the stuff. So like, is it like,
which might be a good thing.
Yeah. Is it like a huge deal? Like, mm-hmm. is it happening everywhere, or is yeah. it just happening like in like the America, or is it happening right. like in other countries?
Yeah.
Which I'm sure it is, but like how much?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. One of the quotes that I really wanted to share, it's not a direct quote. I'm kind mm-hmm. of paraphrasing.
Okay.
There was this one short chapter, and this has a lot of like diverted like different kinds of chapter lengths. One is where Molly, and it's told from her perspective, might I add, so this gets a little more sense, even though that sentence did not.
That's okay.
She writes kind of like a minute, like an imaginary letter, like in school you're like so like write a letter to your fifth grade self in like fourth grade.
Yeah. I think it was fourth grade.
Yeah. Yeah, she was writing to, and she's yeah. in, like, middle school,
boys
probably sixth
girls.
Grade.
Okay.
No,
yeah.
eighth grade.
Eighth grade, right? Because yeah. she's going to the high school next year, yeah. and yes. they don't do that, like, they don't even enforce a dress code there, yeah. so, yeah. yeah.
So it was probably heaven for her. Yeah. But she was writing a letter to fourth graders, probably, like, imaginary, and it starts off with saying, "Hello, fourth graders. You probably think that the word boob is a very funny word." And I thought, yeah, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And then I read into the chapter, which takes like 30 seconds for me to read. And it says, when you get into middle school, it's not going to be like that. A lot of people will get offended by it. A lot of people will become self-conscious by it. Mm. So enjoy the time when you can, when no one feels self-conscious about it.
Yeah.
That's
and strong.
Later on in it, I think she says, like, well, now that I'm writing it, I think it's kind of a funny word. But a lot of girls yeah. don't feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
They, like, as soon as it comes up, they're thinking, oh, my gosh, okay, now I got to focus on my body, whether if they're making fun of me, if they're, like, and
mm-hmm.
I think that's a really good point. You have a lollipop? Why do you have a lollipop?
Oh, she took it off.
Oh, I grabbed it. I was seeing what my favorite was. It's the mystery one.
Oh, okay.
She took it off the teen desk downstairs. I saw her walk over.
Yeah, I was like, oh, lollipop.
Okay. You can stop on the way out and grab your own lollipop.
Anyways,
sorry.
No, that's okay.
Sorry.
That's okay, because, hey. Like,
lollipops are relevant, too.
I wanted to see what flavor it was, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, that's amazing.
So, yeah, so continue.
Anyway, I think that, like, that was a very good point, like, in fourth grade, like, boo-boo.
Yeah.
That's a funny word.
Yeah. That's a strong quote, I think.
Still, no, it's funny.
Like, it's funny, but some girls may get offended by it. Mm-hmm. I personally am not offended by it. I think it's a very funny word, even though it does yeah. have some biology to it.
Yeah.
I think it's a funny word that, like, you can make jokes about, as long as other people around you are yeah. okay with that.
Yeah.
I don't think it's ever okay to make a joke about something and know knowingly that, like, it's hurting someone's feelings.
Yeah.
That's why, like, I've asked my friends, like, oh, is this annoying? Like, I ask my friends, like, if I make a joke about them, I'm like, oh, I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings. Mm-hmm. Is that okay?
Yeah.
And most of the time they're like, yeah. And I asked my friends pretty recently, is it annoying? They're like, no, I'm kind of glad you asked it. I think I made a joke recently about you and I asked you like immediately after. I'm sorry if that was like really rude to you.
Yeah, and I was like, oh no, like it's funny. You just kind of have to like some jokes, yeah, you shouldn't make, but some jokes, like, even though, I mean, it can be offensive, it's still funny. Like, it's like sometimes you have to learn how to take a joke, but sometimes like
there's a line to that.
There's a difference.
Right. And but I think it's respecting your audience, right? Or respecting who you're around. So that if you do ask and they're like, you know what, actually I really feel offended by it. Like I don't Oh, okay, you know what? No problem then.
Yeah, consent.
Done and we won't.
In my family, consent is a very big thing. If you don't want to be touched or you don't want to be hugged, that's it. You're not getting hugged by anyone.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't like hugs, so
I think
I'm
that a lot
like
of
that.
Kids like especially today should be taught like the meaning of consent, not just for like if someone says no, it means no. Yeah. But for girls, like especially like it's a thing. Like
It's not, are you sure? Or there's no coaxing. If I said no, I mean no right now and just drop it.
We still have that. Like, I know we're seventh graders, but, like, we still have that problem. Like, sometimes we'll say no, and, like, we've gotten into the habit of thinking it, like, it's just a joke when, like it's sometimes it is. Like, but also, most of the time, like, you can tell when it's not a joke and when it is a joke. So, like, when they say, like, no, like, that's a joke. But if you're, like, no, like, that's... Like, you should be able to tell when it's a joke, kind of, by their, like, body language.
Yeah, but also, like, it's, sometimes it's really hard to guess, like, if you look at someone and they're kind of like, like, oh, that might have offended them, I need to check with them. Or if someone's, like, laughing and you are kind of unsure about yourself, even though they look genuinely happy, and sometimes they just may be laughing because they thought it was genuinely funny. You may go, like, I'm just saying it's really hard to guess.
It is. And that's why I think that it's acceptable to then ask. Like, you know what? I would rather know and let you tell me. And then, it bothers you. So, hey, we're going to not
like,
do that.
It's like when someone falls down and they're, like, laughing. Because when you fall down, and sometimes it's funny because you're not hurt. And you're like, wow, that was kind of funny how I fell. Which it happens a lot. Usually isn't hurt that much. So you're kind of just, like, laughing with your friend. And, like, it's like, I like this quote. I see it on memes a lot where it's like, if I'm your friend, I'll help you up, and then we'll laugh together. And if I'm your best friend, I'll laugh, and then I'll help you up. It's like, I laugh, and then I'm like, oh my god, are you okay? Yeah. Like, I'm sorry that I'm laughing, and I swear I'm not laughing at you. It's like, I'm not trying to laugh at you.
I have a nervous laugh. Yeah, I have like a nervous laugh, so I think sometimes like I'm laughing because I'm concerned that you're really, really hurt, but I really just don't know what to like.
Yeah, it's
my gosh.
Are you laughing or are you crying? I can't tell sometimes.
And like that's a huge thing with our friend group. Like we always like laugh a little bit when someone falls, and then we'll ask like, "Okay, serious time, are you okay?" And then we're like, "Yeah." It's
and then
fine.
We'll keep laughing.
Yeah. And then we'll keep laughing, and sometimes it turns into an inside joke, and it's really funny.
So that's what I actually kind of liked about this book, too, with Molly, and because there was some camaraderie at the end of that, because I think that, like, her and Olivia, if I read it a little while ago, so, like, if I'm wrong, let me know. Okay. So I felt like she knew Olivia, but it's not like they were tight friends, really.
I think maybe they were, and then, like,
and one time, yes.
So I think what happened is that Olivia was kind of got more popular, so she hung out with, like, the popular girls, and then Molly was like, oh, I don't really want to be with the popular girls, because I get that.
And that is a decision.
With one of, it's a decision.
Like, that happened to one of my friends. I was friends with them, and they became popular, and I was like, I don't really want to be, like, hang out with them, so
And that's nothing bad. It's just sometimes groups split. Sometimes. But so I like though that at the end of this, there was like this common thing that they were all trying to fight for. One, stand up for girls, but I think also for Molly, who knew she was going to be going off to high school the next year, she wanted to make sure that anyone coming up into the ranks, right, that this wasn't. She could have easily just not done anything, gone off to high school, and then just been like, okay, good, phew, that's from behind me.
Yeah.
But she looked at it and said, okay, you know what? No, enough is enough. I don't want to go off to high school and know that there are going to be other students coming up in the ranks that are going to have to deal with this. It's time to deal with this now to make it better for them.
Yeah, and I also remember that she was talking with one of the people – or it was a girl, and she was, can't remember her name, but she was coming up to the school next year, and the girl was like, yeah, I really, because, like, it's only in the middle school, I think, that they really enforce it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, yeah, I'm really not excited to, like, be worried about that. And she was like, I think that's kind of what helped her. Like, yeah, I should probably do something.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
she definitely doubted herself and a few times.
Yeah, that's true. That's
and
right.
Molly, most definitely, could have done absolutely nothing, yep. especially because she was one of the girls who had not developed.
Mm-hmm.
And it wouldn't really matter for her because...
She wasn't getting in trouble.
Yeah. And, like, especially because she was going to be in the high school, and in the high school they don't really enforce the dress code. And she's in eighth grade. She's on the verge of it.
Yeah.
So I think that it's really admirable to see someone who is... not developed.
Mm-hmm.
B, deciding to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And C, like, checking with people to see, what are your thoughts on this and how could I include it to make this better when it inevitably becomes a riot and everyone is fighting
big
for freedom?
Revolution!
Yeah, yep. When she, like, because I like how she brings different people on and not just, like, one person.
Right.
Which is nice because you get, like, different people's view and stuff. And
everyone had a story.
Person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, so I like that. All right. So for me, I did have some things, all these other things that we talked about too, but I also kept coming back to Olivia and the fact that she got her period in school. She was trying to get a pair of clean pants, just hiding the stain, really just trying to do what she could so she could get back into class. And she got called out for this. So that made me think about this other book. It's actually a graphic novel, Go With the Flow. And it's a friendship story, period. So as you can tell, it is pretty much a story about periods. It's another thing where we have women who come, or, you know, students who come together and say, okay, periods are normal things. Come on, stop making it something that...
Yeah, like a huge deal.
A huge deal.
It is
only awkward
if you make it awkward.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. So I wanted to put that out there. It is Go With the Flow, a graphic novel by Lily Williams and Karen Schneeman. And so I think that, you know, anyone who likes Dress Coded might want to also go check this book out. We are going to have to start wrapping it up. Unfortunately, we've had so many awesome things to talk about. So Reva and Daisy, what did you think about being on the podcast today?
I loved it.
I liked it. Wait, can I say one more quick thing?
Of course you can.
So my brother, Blake, who mm-hmm. really likes to read the books that I get before mm-hmm. I have a chance to read them.
Oh!
I get multiple different books. And that was one of the books that I got. I got it from my school. And so, of course, you know, he stole it and he read it. And I was like, oh, that's... Because at first I was like, I don't know if he's going to really understand it or, like, mm-hmm. know what's happening. But I was like, you know what? It's good for boys to read books
exactly.
like this. Because then they understand. Like, even though they might not be doing anything, mm-hmm. it's just nice for them to know. And I think girls could, like, read books about boys, too, and know what they're going through and what they're feeling.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And I was like, wow, that's really cool that he, like, doesn't care and he's just still reading it.
Oh, I'm, like, so excited about the great points you guys have been making.
And I would absolutely love to throw away that trash notion that girls mature earlier than boys.
No, that's not true.
That is not true. Girls are punished at an earlier age than boys for being themselves.
Yeah.
Therefore, their brains adapt much faster to the way the world actually works. And sometimes boys, like, are brought up by...
It's kind of like... It's like they're like last to know the news. They're like, what? Okay.
Consent is a problem for girls.
This is a problem.
I did not grow up knowing this.
Yeah.
And like,
just gotta clue them in, right? Like,
yeah,
let's talk about it. It's dialogue and communication.
Yeah.
I have seen some posts and read some stories about boys who grew up
mm-hmm.
being taught girls are not treated equally than boys, and it's an awful thing. And the boys grow up seeing things that are very blatantly sexist that are very normal and trying to stop it. And I think that's very sweet.
Yeah, things that have been normalized in our society and really should not have been normalized
in
our society.
It's
so
also kind of nice when you have like for example, me and Daisy, we both have a sibling, which
mm-hmm.
is a brother.
Yes.
And so it's nice because you get to see both sides of the story. Like, you're kind of forced to.
Yeah.
But it's still nice.
It is nice. And I have to say, I got to throw this out there because there have been many times where, like, we've finished a TAB meeting or some type of teen event. And I always love, like, Daisy, how you're like, can I bring something over? Like, you always have your brother in the back of your mind. And I think that's just, like, the sweetest thing. I really love seeing that dynamic because a lot of times you're like, you know, people are like, oh, I have a lone brother. Not to say that doesn't happen sometimes.
Yeah,
but,
it definitely does.
Right. But yeah. That, you know what? Like, you're thinking about your brother. You're thinking about that dynamic, that relationship, and making it healthy. And I like that.
My mindset is that when we're older, my grandpa mm-hmm. did not have a good relationship with his sister.
Okay.
And they grew apart, and it was really sad. And I just kept thinking, I don't want that to happen to me and my brother. Mm-hmm. My younger brother, may I add, who has a lot of mental issues with self-confidence. Mm-hmm. And I kept thinking, that is not going to happen to me. I need to keep this relationship alive. And I have asked Charlie, like, my brother, like, what are your thoughts on this? Mm. Or, like, I'll tell him, like, a story of a girl who, like, got dress-coded for a really stupid reason. And he'll go, that is not right. He'll make this amazing facial expression
with
he'll,
my like, brother.
That's widen awesome. His mouth, and he'll, like, widen his eyes, and he'll go, that's really dumb. Why would anyone do that? And I was like, hey.
I don't know.
I don't know either. If I do, I would tell you.
Glad we're on the same page with this.
Oh, and I think it's amazing.
It is. It is amazing. All right. We probably could talk forever, but I don't think I'm allowed to. So I think that is it. I really want to thank – oh, wait. Oh, yeah. You said it was amazing to be on the podcast. I already asked you that. So I really want to thank my two guests today, Reva and Daisy, for taking time out of their pretty full schedules because they really have full schedules to join me on this podcast and making it work. So it's time to close this out then. And I would like you – everyone to join me next month. I don't have a teaser of the book that we are going to be reading because that greatly depends on the guest host that I have. But I know, listeners, that you will not be disappointed. So Reva and Daisy, help me out while we say goodbye today. Thank you for listening to the Curious Reader podcast. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others. Post about it on social media, and don't forget to subscribe so that you never miss an episode.
So please click that heart or give us a thumbs up to share the love of reading and discovering something new.
And remember, the curious reader seeks understanding beyond the book.
Oh my God.